The third hour first up here on TSN 1050. Aaron Karolnik and Matthew Cause with you for the next 2 hours. The leader of the Bang Gang is no longer on the program for the duration of today. Maybe we'll see him tomorrow. Who knows? But Matthew, thrilled that you're with me, and we do appreciate you jumping in on short notice. That's why you're a team player, man. You have the killer instinct that we need here at TSN 1050 that apparently the Toronto Maple Leafs lack. Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider, will join us in just a moment. We've called Buster a couple times. Our phones have crashed a couple of times. So I'm thrilled that he's willing to take our call. Another man with killer instinct, Matthew.
Well, beyond that, the man is a mensch. The man is, just so generous with his time. And we'll see if he's, oh boy. Okay, here we go. This is take three. Remember, three strikes, you're out. You know, baseball, it's a horrible cliche. Let's try this one more time. Our baseball insider from ESPN, he's beloved. It's Buster Olney. Buster, you got us.
I got you guys.
Oh, yeah. All right. Celebration.
USA.
Celebration.
USA.
That's right. I'm fired up. Thank you, Buster. We appreciate your patience this morning. Let's get right to it. The Toronto Blue Jays. Jose Berrios, quality start last night. 7 shutout innings against the Mariners. Yusei Kikuchi the night before. 6 shutout innings against the Mariners. But the bats. Where are the bats, Buster? I will say the pitching, that certainly bodes well going forward. But it is very curious. And I know you have a name in your column this morning on ESPN.com that could boost the bats if a massive deal were to be orchestrated. But what's your take on the Blue Jays from an offensive perspective right now?
Yeah, it's been a surprise. There's no doubt about it because of how we saw them finish up last year where they were just bludgeoning teams left and right. And I've told you guys this story. As the postseason began, I had folks with both the Red Sox and the Yankees saying, "Woof, we're relieved that the Blue Jays are not in the postseason," because they felt like at the end of last season they were the best team in the American League. And so this offensive struggles, you know, early on have been a real surprise. You know, it's clear Teoscar Hernandez is not, you know, into a role yet. Bo Bichette off to a slow start. You know, they make their adjustment with Kevin Biggio. They'll get going. So, you know, the conversation we talked a little bit about this last week about the Jays is who is going to be the left-handed bat that they're going to add. And last week we talked about Andrew Benintendi. We talked about Josh Bell as being a possibility. And I think Josh Bell is and Benintendi are, you know, two of the more realistic possibilities. But the other day I had an interesting conversation with a rival executive who's all over the trade market, and he mentioned the name of Juan Soto, who is – you know, he is this generation's version of Ted Williams in terms of how great he is. And he goes, you know, the Nationals are going to have to deal with the situation sooner rather than later. He's a Scott Boras client. Mm. They've tried to sign him to a long-term deal. He turned it down. As you guys know, Scott Boras clients almost always go into free agency. So at some point, the Nationals, who are going through a rebuilding process now, and the team is actually up for sale, at some point, they're going to have to deal with this. And you know how owners are, right? An incoming owner is not going to want to have. The first thing they do when they take over a team is to trade someone like Juan Soto. So there might be some conversation between anybody who's interested in the team, like, look, before we even think about buying that team, if Soto's going to hit the marketplace, you guys do it, not us. We don't want that on our resume. And so the question then, if in fact the Nationals at some point decide, look, we're going to have to move Juan Soto, then what teams would be potentially motivated? And the two teams that this executive came up with, San Diego Padres, because they've been hyper-aggressive, and two, the Blue Jays, because we know that they're in win-now mode, and oh my God, would that be fun to see Soto and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hitting back-to-back. And I want to make this clear. This is all speculation. I have no information that this has even been discussed. But if you look at the horizon, the potential trademark of horizon, and the storm clouds gathering like a weather system, then Juan Soto at some point is going to be out on the market, and the Blue Jays are one of the teams that's absolutely a perfect fit.
I don't know if it's a I'm being a professional if I say I think I just peed a little bit hearing the last 45 seconds from Buster Olney. I guess the question I have is I've got more of a Scott Boras question for you. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Steven Strasburg was a Scott Boras client. And I don't know, it felt like Washington always did right by him in terms of compensation. I just wonder how this plays out. Is this a case of it really doesn't matter how good you are to each client of Scott Boras? It's always about the next one.
For the most part, I mentioned that Scott almost always takes his clients into free agency.
Of course,
there are exceptions, right? Xander Bogaerts, Andrew Jones in the past; those are Boras clients who basically, Jared Weaver. They forced deals with their teams that they were with. They insisted on deals to stay in place. But most of his clients, almost all of his clients, go into free agency. You mentioned Steven Strasburg. You're right. The Nationals took care of him. But remember, he became a free agent. He went into the open market. And if you know Strasburg, you know that he's not someone who likes change. So he winds up getting a massive deal after they win the title, $245 million, which I think people in the business regarded almost immediately as a mistake. The fact that Soto has turned down a huge offer already and is advancing toward free agency, like he and I don't know exactly what the number turned down, but it was huge. It was in that, the realm of we've been talking about, the biggest deals in baseball. He's got a chance to be the first player as a free agent to hit $500 million. He has a chance to be a guy who could break the Mike Trout, record of $430 million. So that doesn't preclude a team like the Padres or like the Jays from making a deal leading up to free agency. And for the Jays to keep Vladdy Jr. and Soto together, that might be difficult. But if you want to talk about, value and augmenting your team in a win-now window, he would be a great player to trade for.
Imagine signing Soto and Vladdy Jr. for like a combined, $1 billion?
Here's a billion to go full Austin Austin Powers. Go full, Dr. Evil.
I mean, talk about a win-now move, pushing all your chips in the middle of the table. If you were able to figure it out, clearly that would be very cost-prohibitive.
J.P. Ricciardi, by the way, off topic for half a second, J.P. Ricciardi would be so angry. It's like, wait, you spent $1 billion? You didn't spend a dime when I was here.
We signed B.J. Ryan and A.J. Burnett. Those were our big moves. I mean, now you're giving $500 million to Vladdy, $500 million to Juan Soto. Wouldn't that be something? Buster,
it would be, you guys know as baseball fans that one of the most famous trades that didn't happen over drinks, the owners, the Red Sox and the Yankees at one point agreed to a Joe DiMaggio for Ted Williams trade. And then the next morning when they were both sober, they called it off. This would be a case of Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio playing together, right? If you had those two guys in the same line, again, it's fun baseball fantasy. It's all speculation at this point. I want to make that clear. But, as they say, there are a lot of forces beginning to move into place where we're actually going to talk about a potential Juan Soto trade.
Our guest is ESPN MLB insider Buster Olney. You mentioned the Red Sox, Buster. Last night, a tough evening for Nate Eovaldi, giving up 5 home runs in one inning. One inning. That ties a major league record. Not a good night for Boston. Not a good season for the Sox either. They've been brutal, 14-22. I don't think anyone saw that coming. Could they also be a seller leading up to the deadline?
Absolutely. Look, it's shocking to think in mid-May, this team that was leading the American League East last July is 13 games behind the Yankees in the division. It's the deficit early on is just stunning. This is a team that in the last decade, their ownership has not conducted business like the Yankees. The Yankees reflexively don't like to be sellers because they feel like they have to work with their fan base. Well, we've seen the Red Sox in the last decade trade John Lester in season. We've seen them trade, Andrew Miller. We've seen them trade Mookie Betts. And Xander Bogaerts is a free agent at the end of this year. He can opt out of his contract. And they were miles apart in contract conversations in spring. So, yes, during the year, other executives are now telling me they think the Red Sox will be out there with Bogarts, but not only him, but, you know, guys like Rich Hill and Eovaldi, maybe Nick Pivetta at some point becomes one of the guys that they talk about. They actually have a lot of marketable players. And here's what's shocking, especially about the Red Sox start. Statistically, they've had one of the easiest schedules in baseball to this point, okay, which is a major factor. The team with the hardest schedule among the 30 teams in baseball, the Toronto Blue Jays to this point. Moving forward among the American League East teams, the Blue Jays have by far the easiest strength of schedule. So there's hope for the Blue Jays to, you know, for that offense to bounce back because they get to play the baseball's version of the Washington Generals over and over and over, and that's the Baltimore Orioles.
and don't forget a little hint, a little spice, a little dusting of the Cincinnati Reds, where you don't have to worry if they no hit you, you'll probably still win the game.
Right, exactly. Look, this is baseball in 2022. The Astros and then the Cubs popularized the tanking strategy. We're seeing it manifest. I was watching the Yankees, beat the Orioles again last night. You think about how pathetic the Orioles are. You know, they're on a pace, I think, now to win 62 games or lose 100 games again. It'd be the fourth consecutive season, full season, in which they would do that. And there's this perception that, well, the Orioles are young and they're building. Guys, the youngest player on their roster is Tyler Nevin, who turns 25 later this month, okay? Basically a franchise running out a bunch of guys who, let's face it, they're not, a lot of them are not major league caliber players, but it's the team's decision, the ownership's decision. We're going to cut our payroll to nothing, run a bunch of guys out, pretend it's a major league product, and it's awful. And that's what teams like the Yankees and Blue Jays, have to take advantage of when they play these clubs. And we saw last year the Blue Jays were able to do that. The Rays were able to do it. The Yankees in recent days have certainly been able to do it against the Orioles.
Buster, thanks so much for sticking with us this morning in spite of our technical difficulties. I'm thrilled that we tried you for a third time, and I'm even more thrilled that you answered our call. You were awesome today, as always, and we thank you for that. So we appreciate
you, guys.
Buster.
Right. I appreciate it. We could all dream together of Vladdy and Juan Soto in the same lineup.
We're going to get some serious juice out of that conversation over the next long period of time. There's no doubt about that. Thanks, Buster.
See you guys.
It's a Buster Olney. Yeah, man. The Orioles. What a brutal team. I mean,
it's embarrassing. It's not like a bunch of top 25 prospects where they're growing together as a team. The youngest guy is 25. That is embarrassing.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, it's an organization with so much history. Cal Ripken Jr. and Mike Mussina, Rafael Palmeiro, Brady Anderson had like 55 home runs when he was so juiced up with roids. And now they are
allegedly juiced up with roids.
Allegedly.
That one crazy
indeed. Ed Jovanovski, longtime NHL D-man, Carlo Kuliakovo's favorite player when he was growing up. He'll join us next. He's now an analyst with the Florida Panthers, who suffered a very tough loss in Game 1 last night. A lot of expectations on Florida, considering the tough series that Tampa played against Toronto. And no Braden Point for the Lightning. No problem. No point. No problem for Tampa. They win 4-1 in Game 1, with Game 2 going tomorrow night. Ed Jovanovski up next with Rich Beam standing by in about 25 minutes. You're listening to First Up here on TSN 1050.